A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Remember the days past when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a great contest of suffering. At times, you were publicly exposed to abuse and affliction. At other times, you associated yourselves with those so treated. You even joined in the sufferings of those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, knowing that you had a better and lasting possession. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised. For after just a brief moment, he who is to come shall come. He shall not delay. But my just one shall live by faith. And if he draws back, I take no pleasure in him. We are not among those who draw back and perish, but among those who have faith and will possess life. The word of the Lord. The salvation of the just comes from the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good, that you may dwell in the land and be fed in security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's requests. Commit to the Lord your way. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make justice dawn for you like the light. Bright as the noonday shall be your vindication. By the Lord are the steps of a man made firm, and he approves his way. Though he fall, he does not lie prostrate, for the hand of the Lord sustains him. The salvation of the just is from the Lord. He is their refuge in time of distress. And the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundo Marco. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that, when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them. But to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. Verbum Domini.
The paradox, or a paradox, but the paradox of Christianity is that great things start out so small. The paradox of existence is that great things start off so small. Israel was not the greatest of peoples on earth. As it says in Deuteronomy, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love upon you and chose you, for you were the fewest of people. Israel is the vine transplanted from Egypt into the promised land. Yet Israel did not place all of its trust in the power of God. In the 6th century before Christ, Israel was conquered and deported to Babylon, and through the prophet Ezekiel, God promised to restore the kingdom of David. He will take a small twig and make it into a large cedar tree. As it says, I, the Lord, bring low the high tree, lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green tree, and make the withered tree bloom. And doesn't this remind you of the Magnificat? He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And a caveat could be made about the prophecy of Nazareth, that he shall be called a Nazarene. And we could go that way because Nazar, it means branch. So the branch or the tree of David that would be restored, and how our Lord was of the family of David. The two parables of our Lord refer to the text of the Old Testament that Jesus tells us about the kingdom of God and its growth. And the first parable is of the seed growing secretly, or the parable of the patient husbandman. In making this sharp contrast between the work of the farmer and the unceasing process of growth. So there's nothing said about the farmer tending the vines, about him weeding, about him watering. Rather, the kingdom of God is the work of God. And he begins the work, and he brings it to completion. So the kingdom of God, which is equivalent to salvation or our healing in Christ, to the life of God within us, the kingdom of God is not very impressive in the eyes of the world. That many expected a Messiah who would overcome the enemies of Israel, through the force of arms, through a show of power and triumph. Yet our Lord did not seem to do any of these things. Even when he rides in triumph into Jerusalem, it's to be crucified. So today, we continue to be impatient with God's timing, God's way of bringing the kingdom about in our lives. And in our own way, we usually desire it to be brought about by force, even in our own life. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God does not come in a flash of glory. It starts like the tiniest of seeds, a mustard seed. It begins humbly. So, of course, we're not talking about science. We're talking about the exaggeration. So now we know the tiniest of seeds is not a mustard seed. Let's not worry about that point. But about the humility and the smallness that we see in our Lord. So one of the ways, of course, we see this is with baptism. When a child is baptized, it seems almost as no thing. Baptism is so simple, just some water in a few words, and the child looks the same before as after. But we are promised in Scripture, and we know it in faith, and I hope in experience, that she is different, that she, the child, is a temple of God, a child of God in a new way, and filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell within the baptized and are experienced in the mystery of grace. That the seed of eternal life has been planted in her soul, and this grace is meant to grow, especially through the sacramental life of the church and through prayer. So the seed of grace planted in baptism needs to be watered by the Word of God. In the preaching of the Word, the proclamation of the gospel is a work for all of us, for all the baptized. Yet it is primarily the work of God. As St. Paul says to the Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So this grace also grows through Holy Communion, that daily nourishment of the body and blood of our Lord, that Jesus gives us his strength, his life, and he lives more perfectly in us every time we receive the Eucharist worthily, when we receive him with love. So the second message of the parable, which is part of the reason we have this combined from the first reading from the letter to the Hebrews, we are not among those who draw back and perish, but among those who will have faith and will possess life. You need endurance to do the will of God. Do not throw away your confidence. The second message is that the disciples of Jesus should not become impatient or discouraged. We cannot control the manifestation of the kingdom, and we cannot force it. We are expected only to proclaim and to trust that the kingdom will be manifested in its proper time, in God's time. So the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, as the parable goes. But it grows into the greatest of all shrubs, that God is in control. There is more to come, and that God has promised the growth and the flourishing.